You have put the clowns and crooks into the highest seats of your governments and over your very selves. So be it, for while the thieves of your very world have manipulated, you have been brought to your knees. If the Islamic countries would turn again unto God and demand that their nations be run on the principles of their already established economic structures, and Gaia support, that alliance could bring freedom, abundance, peace and order to the chaos of the lie. I ask that this writing get to parties who represent possibilities to these friends and Kufi elite who pass out empty pieces of paper and force you to use same if you are to eat or have shelter. You have put the clowns and crooks into the highest seats of your governments and over your very selves. So be it, for while the thieves of your very world have manipulated, you have been brought to your knees. If the Islamic countries would turn again unto God and demand that their nations be run on the principles of their already established economic structures, and Gaia support, that alliance could bring freedom, abundance, peace and order to the chaos of the lie. I ask that this writing get to parties who represent possibilities to these friends and co-workers. When the leadership is in knowing and understanding, the project shall present wondrous success. I want this message to now go as is with the short chapter on energy. The Islamic people can understand oil and know that the wealth has been stolen by the very manipulators sucking them steadily into slavery. Thank you for your attention. GCH, Chapter 49 Energy as a Weapon. Now and again Germany and the rest of the Western world are subjected to a so-called energy crisis arranged by the international bankers. In 1974, for example, the price of crude oil spiraled because of the OPEC oil embargo. Behind the scenes, the international bankers had made an agreement with the Arab OPEC leaders. The principle is very simple. The Arabs made money because the prices went up, the car drivers, the buyers, paid up and the oil multinationals cashed in. Oil companies like Arco, Shell, Mobil, Exxon were all linked to the Chase Manhattan Bank Rockefeller. The Chase Manhattan Bank in turn had sealed the agreement with the OPEC leaders, and the latter's part of the deal was to deposit the profits made by selling oil at high prices, just as in 1974, for 30 years at 7% interest with the Chase Manhattan Bank. With these deposits, huge loans were granted to the so-called third world nations like Mexico, Brazil and Argentina. And these countries are then bled with the immensely high interest payments. To balance these interest payments, which they cannot with money alone, they have to grant the banks ever-increasing influence over their economy and politics. The leaders of those countries are forced to follow the line of the international bankers or they will be replaced. The international bankers profit in several ways from the embargo. Firstly, from the deposits by the OPEC countries, then from the earnings by the oil companies linked to the banks, and then from the influence upon them gained from this indebtedness. Naturally, the media put all the blame on the Arabs. Nobody speaks of the real culprits, the international bankers who made the contracts with the Arabian oil countries. Luckily, there are still some relatively independent newspapers like the Spotlight in the US and the New Solidarität in Germany who at least report more about the Illuminati than others. H. Now, readers, specifically you who have capability of influence and actually bringing change to this sad world and your own people of lineage, please listen up carefully. Gaia offers the plan which can change all this greedy enslavement. There is enough gold in the Philippines alone to put a base under a global program. That can be shared, as well, 142, globally. I petition you to join with your brethren and move forward, for your time is growing shorter and shorter before you are closed out of ability to function. In Southeast Asia, the chaos of such as Indonesia, even Malaysia, is growing more and more severe and limiting. It is time to act now. Thank you for your attention, Commander Hatton, GFFC. I am called Atten, and it is important to you who recognize me. I am in lighted company. Growing shorter and shorter before you are closed out of ability to function. In Southeast Asia, the chaos of such as Indonesia, even Malaysia, is growing more and more severe and limiting. It is time to act now. Thank you for your attention, Commander Hatton. GFFC, I am Calderton, and it is important to you who recognize me. I am in Lighted Company. Chapter 50: The CIA and the Shah. In 1979, the hated Shah who got his power in 1953 aided by the CIA was chased from Iran by the revolution. Since as a rule most employees at a US embassy are also CIA members, the Iranian rebels, who knew about that fact, in revenge took the US CIA employees hostage. The CIA in turn retaliated by telling the leader of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, that this was a good time to invade Iran since the latter at this time was weakened, which was not necessarily true. The invasion by Hussein was successful and the Iranian hostage takers let Jimmy Carter know that they would free the hostages in exchange for arms. Since most of their arms bought during the Shah's time were from the US, they had to get ammunition and spares from the States, too. President Carter, however, refused this deal and at the same time started a secret mission with the CIA, Desert One, to free the hostages. But the CIA did not exactly like Carter since he had instigated drastic cuts for the CIA. So an early opinion poll was launched to ascertain which candidate was more likely to win the next presidential elections, Carter or Reagan. The people voted for Carter. The CIA, however, wanted Reagan and so they planned to sabotage the rescue mission Desert One so President Carter would lose face. At the same time, William Casey, former CIA director and head of Reagan's election committee, had established contact with Iran's revolutionary leader Ayatollah Khomeini. Casey told him that Reagan would carry the next election and that he could therefore deal with him as Reagan's representative. William Casey had a good reputation because he was instrumental in the building of the largest lorry manufacturer in the world, the Kama River Lorry Company in the Soviet Union. Since Casey was also chairman of the Export-Import Bank, Khomeini decided to collaborate with him. In the third week of October 1980, George Bush, Skull and Bones member and later U.S. president, and Richard Allen as Casey's representative met with the agents of the Iranian Hezbollah extremists at the Hotel Raphael in Paris. There it was agreed that the US would transport arms to Iran via Israel and that the Iranians would free the hostages the moment Reagan was declared president. The first arms delivery was to take place 2 weeks later, in March 1981. Really? The CIA's sabotage of Desert One planned by themselves was successful. The rescue mission failed and Carter was replaced by Reagan. The hostages were freed and the first arms delivery via Israel was made. Between July 24 and 27, 1981, the Israeli arms dealer Yaakov Nimrodi signed a $135 million contract with Iran for the delivery of 50 land missiles, 50 mobile missiles and 68 Hawk anti-aircraft missiles. Another deal that became known was that made by the Swiss arms dealer Stuart Allen McCafferty, who flew 360 tons of M48 tanks pairs to Iran in a Ci-44 freight plane chartered from the Argentine airline company Aerorio Platense. The whole thing cost them $27 million and they made two successful flights from Israel to Iran. On July 18, 1983, the 143 plane was shot down over Soviet Armenia by a Russian MiG-25 on its return flight from the third delivery. These arms deals would hardly have been possible without George Bush and Richard Allen. In this case, too, the official media reports were far removed from what really occurred. H, you should be ready, willing and able to see the foundation being laid for the plan for unlimited money which ultimately ends up as the asset held now by Gaia. This sucked in the very resource that could back such a major plan as presented by Ferdinand Marcos of the Philippines and under the total control of documents proving up the program as to participants and funds, that is, also gold backing where necessary until gold could be phased out as currency backing requirements. Remember that the US moved off the gold standard and it became final under Carter. Then, only year before last, Switzerland removed itself from a gold standard and elected a Jewish woman as head of Switzerland. The rest is history, well tracked as uprisings came after Marcos had perfected the plan established and shipped out tons of gold and currency around the globe. Then Marcos was literally kidnapped and instead of being flown home he was abducted to the US Hawaii. What happened in between? Well, Mr. Bush for his uses and for gaining untold assets in oil, etc., and even gold from Brunei, tried to take it all. When theft of the very corporation holding the asset established as bonus 3392-181 was made, the holder converted, with a witness, the asset certificate, fully valid prior to the Federal Reserve Act, to a contract fully qualified, owner identified, and registered under the law. The corporation, Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing, Limited, was reclaimed as well. It was found that the snatching of the corporation was done directly through the Secretary of State Nevada, Papaz, with instructions from George Bush. This was a bad scene but was rectified through agreements to not prosecute. So be it. Truth and honor have had little place in the New World Order, and a lot of banks lost their shirts over the misuse of said certificate assets by Bush. However, a lot of money moved around the game board. At that time in history, readers, George Bush and Saddam Hussein were business partners, even to the sharing of bank accounts of massive size. Now guess WHO is back in power in the US? Oh, surely not? Oh, yes, surely so. Everything and anything can be denied but it doesn't make it so. Wow. It is nice to have the Bushes in full view along with skull and bones of the New World Order. Remember, as you get discouraged, friends, God wins. Chapter 51 Saddam Hussein and Desert Storm. Iraq had just come out of a senseless war with Iran that had no other reason than to enable international arms dealers to reap enormous profits. For in the beginning of the 80s the U.S. had passed on to the Iraqis false intelligence, as just mentioned, indicating an easy and fast victory over Iran. This prolonged war, however, had dealt quite a blow to the Iraqi economy, a debt of $65 million in 1989 alone. Next to the Soviet Union, France had been the main supplier of arms. The time had come, according to Pike's letter of the end phase, to ring in the third and last war. For this, a trouble spot was needed in the Near East. This was cleverly planned, for in the Bible, in the Revelation, the last battle starts in the Near East. Thus those following the Bible and those believers not very well informed in geopolitical matters are misled. They would believe that this was God's judgment. But it isn't. It is the judgment by the Illuminati. So it was planned to set a trap for Saddam Hussein. He should give England and the US an excuse to intervene by military, apparently to safeguard the world oil supply. In June 144, of 1989, a delegation with Alan Stugger, Kissinger Associates Limited, members of the board of the Bankers Trust, Mobil, Occidental Petroleum and others followed an invitation by Saddam Hussein to Baghdad. The project at the center of discussions, the Badush Dam project, that within 5 years would have made Iraq independent of food imports, was turned down. The delegation insisted that first the national debt had to be paid up and thus the oil industry should be at least partly privatized. Saddam Hussein, of course, declined. By the end of 1989, the $2.3 billion George Bush had promised Iraq were blocked by the Banca Nazionale del Lavoro BNL. Thus at the beginning of 1990 Iraq was cut off from all loans by Western banks. Now Sheikh Al-Sabah, Emir of Kuwait and friend of the English royal family, entered the game. Up to now he had channeled money into Iraq, as bidden by London and Washington, to keep the 8-year war going that brought the arms dealers money and Israel political advantages. At the beginning, Kuwait was asked to dump cheap oil on the market despite signed OPEC treaties disallowing this. Several diplomatic advances by the other OPEC countries tried to keep Kuwait from continuing on this dangerous path, but without success. In July 1990, the quarrels between Kuwait and Iraq escalated. At the Bilderberger meeting of June 6-9, 1990, the decision had been made that was delivered to Saddam Hussein on July 27. By April Glaspie, the American ambassador in Baghdad, the U.S. will not intervene in the argument between Kuwait and Iraq. The official minutes of this meeting were published after the beginning of the Gulf War. This, of course, gave Saddam the go-ahead. On August 2, 1990, Iraqi troops invaded Kuwait. Naturally, the ruling family had been forewarned by the CIA and had left the country, jewels and Rolls-Royce and all. The next 6 months saw the enactment of a well-staged play. On September 11, President Bush announced his New World Order. There were many meetings to avoid a war that had long since been decided. On so the U.S. troops entered the Gulf War on January 15, 1991. James H. Webb, Marine Supreme Commander under Reagan, described the scenario: "The aim of our presence on the Persian Gulf is to start off the New World Order of the Bush administration, an Illuminati puppet, and I don't like that at all. Perhaps you would like to compare this with what was broadcast in the news at the time." William Cooper had announced the date of the invasion by U.S. troops 1 year before the beginning of the Gulf War. He had taken the information from secret papers to which he had had access during his time as naval intelligence officer. He announced the date during a workshop that had been recorded on video, proving that he gave the date 1 year before the Gulf War. That war had been planned and prepared long in advance, and so is the Third World War, whether you believe it or not. Board of the Bankers Trust, Mobil, Occidental Petroleum and others followed an invitation by Saddam Hussein to Baghdad. The project at the center of discussions, the Badush Dam project, that within 5 years would have made Iraq independent of food imports, was turned down. The delegation insisted that first the national debt had to be paid up and thus the oil industry should be at least partly privatized. Saddam Hussein, of course, declined. By the end of 1989, the $2.3 billion George Bush had promised Iraq were blocked by the Banca Nazionale del Lavoro BNL. Thus, at the beginning of 1990, Iraq was cut off from all loans by Western banks. Now Sheikh Al-Sabah, Emir of Kuwait and friend of the English royal family, entered the game. Up to now he had channeled money into Iraq, as bidden by London and Washington, to keep the 8-year war going that brought the arms dealers money and Israel political advantages. At the beginning, Kuwait was asked to dump cheap oil on the market despite signed OPEC treaties disallowing this. Several diplomatic advances by the other OPEC countries tried to keep Kuwait from continuing on this dangerous path, but without success. In July 1990, the quarrels between Kuwait and Iraq escalated. At the Bilderberger meeting of June 6-9, 1990, the decision had been made that was delivered to Saddam Hussein on July 27. By April Glaspie, the American ambassador in Baghdad, the U.S. will not intervene in the argument between Kuwait and Iraq. The official minutes of this meeting were published after the beginning of the Gulf War. This, of course, gave Saddam the go-ahead. On August 2, 1990, Iraqi troops invaded Kuwait. Naturally, the ruling family had been forewarned by the CIA and had left the country, jewels and Rolls-Royce and all. The next 6 months saw the enactment of a well-staged play. On September 11, President Bush announced his New World Order. There were many meetings to avoid a war that had long since been decided. On so the U.S. troops entered the Gulf War on January 15, 1991. James H. Webb, Marine Supreme Commander under Reagan, described the scenario: "The aim of our presence on the Persian Gulf is to start off the New World Order of the Bush administration, an Illuminati puppet, and I don't like that at all. Perhaps you would like to compare this with what was broadcast in the news at the time. William Cooper had announced the date of the invasion by U.S. troops 1 year before the beginning of the Gulf War. He had taken the information from secret papers to which he had had access during his time as naval intelligence officer. He announced that date during a workshop that had been recorded on video, proving that he gave the date 1 year before the Gulf War. That war had been planned and prepared long in advance, and so is the Third World War, whether you believe it or not. This should all make it far easier to follow along with the bonus certificate, contract as to Russell Herman's need to get some backup for his holdings. The thing was out of control and war was at hand. He was getting into such a corner as Bush demanded more and more backup and even, during that time, a demand was made to underwrite some $35 trillion US dollars supposedly to be run through Saddam Hussein. Why war? Well, many things were evident at the time. A lot of funds had flowed clandestinely through Bush bank structures, there was need for funds to back a war, and, not the least to be considered was to get gold stashed in Iraq. Do you actually think inspectors have been in Iraq with metal detectors to find weapons? Come no, Chilas, you are not that naive. They were looking for the gold. The world could be set free in the truth and with backup of that gold. Now aren't you glad you came to dinner? A massive amount of gold was sent for safekeeping with Arab states, with the Marcos Plan. 145, Bush and the New World Order expect to have it all, readers, things make more sense now, don't they? It should be quite easy to see the need for transfers as made by Russell Herman, who was by 1993 radiated to death status to gain possession of the assets of what is now the Gaia asset, along with the other half still in point but having already met with successful assault against Herman's partner, V.K. Durham. Russell Herman did, indeed, succumb in 1994 but not until after receiving heavy torture, abduction and finally, murder. Facts remain, however, that the entire asset was assigned over prior to Herman's death in 1994, as of August 1993 with instructions even as to what the alliance would be named. When appropriate it was placed into corporate security and validated with proper notification to all parties of interest, including the Treasury of the US, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve, several branches thereof, the IMF and other interested parties, that is, all the Bushes, the Treasurer of the US who I remind you is paid by the IMF, and interested parties. Through certified delivery to said parties, important parties were again notified at the time of the change of administrations this year in the US, thus proving intent and ongoing adherence to agreements as outlined by said parties. We are not, I repeat, at war with anyone, including the IMF or George Bush for that matter. We simply serve a different master, ours called God Creator, his called Satan, skull and bones, you know. WHO will prevail? UWHO choose to prevail in honor and decent intent for the just treatment of mankind. Chapter 52. What does the future hold for the conflict or Near East? Des Griffin writes that the declaration made by Israeli Parliament in July 1980, namely that Jerusalem was now the political capital of Israel, could be of utmost importance. Is this a step in the direction towards a much more ambitious goal by the Zionist side? For years it has been an accepted fact that the Zionists plan to make Jerusalem the administrative center of the One World Government. This goal had been stated in 1962 by Israel's Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion. Any attempt to establish such a world alliance with Jerusalem as its center would surely start the Third World War that the top Illuminati Albert Pike had foretold in his letter to Mazzini. Pike said that this Third World War would start in the Near East, due to the enmity between the Arabs and the Israelis, and that it would end in the founding of a world dictatorship. The attitude of the international bankers towards the erection of such a global slave camp becomes evident in the words of James Warburg spoken before the Senate on February 17, 1950, "We will have a world government, whether we like it or not. The only question is whether this world government will be reached by conquest or by consent." According to William Cooper, the Third World War is planned for the middle of 1996. He got this information from secret papers he had seen during his time as a naval intelligence officer. Thus, it is planned to destroy one of the three largest American cities, New York, San Francisco, or Los Angeles, with an atom bomb. Extremists from the Near East crisis area, Iraq, will be blamed to have a reason to start the Third World War. Was the bomb that exploded at the World Trade Center perhaps just a test to see how the masses would react? Think about it. 146. Personally, I don't think that World War III will start in 1996, but I know that our friends had planned to make it happen by then, and they will try everything they can to get their world dictatorship as early as possible. I believe, however, that things will work out quite a bit differently. H. Please keep in mind that most of this book was done in 1993 and put to press in 1995. Today is May 29, 2001. World War III already started some 40 years ago. But the war they fight is the silent war they always prefer. It's not a fight against a certain nation on this planet, it's a fight against the people on this planet. The Illuminati have been very successful in these last decades to enter every single house on this planet through television, radio, literature and food, to change people's attitudes towards them and towards their goals. They radiate their ELF waves, refer to the chapter on weather control, upon you, and you don't even recognize that they are messing with your behavior and with your brain. That's what is really happening. But there is still a power on this planet, three-dimensional, that the Illuminati are very much afraid of. Besides the loving forces from outer space and from the spirit realms who guide us every minute. Planned to make it happen by then, and they will try everything they can to get their world dictatorship as early as possible. I believe, however, that things will work out quite a bit differently. H. Please keep in mind that most of this book was done in 1993 and put to press in 1995. Today is May 29, 2001. World War III already started some 40 years ago. But the war they fight is the silent war they always prefer. It's not a fight against a certain nation on this planet, it's a fight against the people on this planet. The Illuminati have been very successful in these last decades to enter every single house on this planet through television, radio, literature and food, to change people's attitudes towards them and towards their goals. They radiate their ELF waves, refer to the chapter on weather control, upon you, and you don't even recognize that they are messing with your behavior and with your brain. That's what is really happening. But there is still a power on this planet, three-dimensional, that the Illuminati are very much afraid of. Besides the loving forces from outer space and from the spirit realms who guide us every minute. H. How nice. I spoke to a rabbi recently and confronted him with the question whether he knew that they wouldn't reach their goal but would lose everything, even their lives, and he said, "Yes, I know, but we will take as much of you, Goyim, with us as possible, off this planet." Nice attitude, isn't it? Chapter 53. Germany reunited, to fall. Russia and communism had fulfilled their tasks as bogeymen and could now be dissolved. With the Russian enemy, the Western nations had been forced into alliances that put UN and NATO law above the national laws. Everything went smoothly. Now the time had come to unite the US and the SU officially. Although where capital and arms production was concerned, they were never really apart. USSU. Do you see the similarity? Accidental? Is it perhaps accidental, too, that both the Soviets and the US not only use the program on all their arms, tanks and planes, but use it also as a state symbol, Red Star, Pentagon, And what about the all-seeing eye of the Illuminati, which adorns the Great Seal of the US and is at the center of the emblem of the Marxist regime? I will note something right here as to those journals, Phoenix, that were published by George Green through America West. Without focusing on it, I will remind all you readers who have those early books through America West to actually look at America West's logo. It is a triangle with no less than three of those all-seeing eyes.